With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, second hour of Upstate Outdoors is on tap. You're listening to 106.3 WORD. And pretty much first hour after I was telling my story about how I stole some kids' fish. Not really, but
did.
It kind of felt
bad.
That way. And then we talked to Blake Hodge from Team Wrecking Crew and the adventures they had. And, you know, I don't know. If everything remains where, you know, people can get out of the house, you know, in the near future, in April.
Yeah.
You know, kind of.
Hopefully it'll be a good turkey season.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see the weather. Honestly, I would really like to see the weather clear up, clean up, and, you know, I won't say go into a drought, but.
A drought would be great.
Yeah.
A little drought. Not a big drought, but a little drought.
I don't ever want a drought, but anyway, I think that would be good for everybody.
Right.
You know.
Including our wildlife population.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Well,
I don't think
got a lot of water.
I was going with the get hot and warm, and then flu season is over.
Yes.
Quicker. Somebody's probably going, there's no scientific.
We're not doctors.
For that. But anyway, yeah.
Just opinions, not doctors.
But second hour, after we jump into the Roadkill Cafe with the Cajun fried crappie.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
It's kicked up deep fried Cajun crappie.
Okay. Then we're going to talk about fly rod fishing, learning how to fly rod fish, and using brim for that.
Target species.
Yeah, exactly. Target species. Then we're going to talk to our buddy Sam Jones from Lake Joe Cassie Charters. And see
who's
what's
been catching
going.
Them.
Yeah,
going
to see what's going on with the trout fishing up there, and then we'll have a segment four. It'll be pretty much just a parting shot because there is no calendar of events.
Not right now, but there will be.
Yeah,
we'll get some more back on.
Yeah,
some soon
point.
As we got some stuff going on.
That's right. But right now we got to jump into the kitchen with the Roadkill Cafe.
So I wanted to pick a recipe that chances are everybody's got it in their fridge and they don't have to go to 17 grocery stores to try to find it.
Yeah.
So at our house, obviously we got crappie. And I wanted to do something a little different because we've been grilling and we're doing kind of healthy. But I found this recipe on Field & Stream magazine or fieldandstream.com. Kicked up Cajun deep fried crappie. So you're going to need 2 eggs, half a cup of heavy whipping cream. This is not on our diet. A cup of milk, 1/4 cup of Texas Pete, 1/2 stick of butter, 2 to 4 pounds crappie fillets, cup of flour, cup of cornmeal, fresh cracked black pepper, and peanut or vegetable oil. We like the peanut oil. Tell us why we like the peanut oil, PG.
Tastes like peanuts?
No. It has a little higher.
Oh, it's got a higher. It will hold heat higher before it starts breaking down.
And it's also a little bit more temperature consistent.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it takes a little longer to heat up, but it takes a little longer to cool down.
Yeah.
And it tastes good, too.
Yeah.
So what you're going to do is combine the eggs, the heavy cream, the milk, and hot sauce into a large bowl. You melt the 1/2 stick of butter, and you pour that in there, too. Mix it all together. It's going to look like light pink hot sauce. Submerge the crappie fillets into the mixture and allow them to soak in the refrigerator for 2 to 4 hours. This does a couple of things. If y'all listened to the show last week, you heard us talk about using milk with the fish mm-hmm. that would take the quote-unquote fishy chemical out of fish.
Right.
Okay, you've got milk and you've got heavy cream. The other thing that this is doing with the Texas Pete is you are marinating that fish in hot sauce.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a double dip there.
But you're not going to pour it off, right? You're going to leave it on the fish. Are you going to blot it off?
So you're marinating for 2 to 4 hours.
Yep.
In the fridge with the hot sauce, the milk, the cream, and the butter. So you're going to use your flour and your cornmeal, mix them together, and put them in a big... The recipe calls for a small trash bag, but that just seems weird to me. I like the big gallon Ziploc bags. Mix your dry ingredients together. So what you're going to do is after your marinade's done, you're going to use just black pepper. Okay, so you take them out of the marinade mixture and you shake them down with pepper, and then you move them into your batter bag, which is your dry ingredients, and you shake it all up and coat them even. And then you go to the fryer. So you're using that milk and that cream as a marinade.
Shake, shake, shake.
He is literally dancing in his chair. Shake. Go ahead and sing it without
mine. Shake your crappy.
There you go.
Shake your crappy. Ow.
So the peanut oil needs to be 425 degrees.
425?
425. It is hot.
Wow.
Yes.
Because normally about 375 is where most top out.
Oil that is not hot enough will make fish soggy and greasy. This is the funniest thing I've ever read. If you do not have an oil thermometer, break the head off of a stick match and drop the wood part of the match into the pan. If it flames up and disintegrates, the oil's hot enough. I would not recommend trying that at home.
What if it flames up? Want to catch the oil on fire?
I don't know. I would not recommend trying that at home.
Field and Stream said this.
I don't know.
So you're going to throw
the wood part.
Not the phosphorus part.
Not the phosphorus part, but the wood part into the pan.
Seemed to me like when it flamed up, the whole thing's flaming up.
I know. Okay. We'll have to do that at home before we tell y'all to do that.
Maybe we should consult with legal before we get this.
Yeah, don't do that. So that's why disclaimer, don't do that at home. I could see us burning down somebody's driveway. So then you're going to cook 425 degree oil, cook your crappie fillets, and fry to golden brown. You know when they're done. Don't burn them. They're not going to take long, depending on the size of your fish. When they look like they're brown, go ahead and take them out. Crappie fillets, unless you're catching monsters like PG, are normally not huge. Okay, yeah. So that's why we don't have a time. Like, you need to cook those for 7 minutes, because some of the smaller fish, that's way too long.
And if you have larger fish and smaller fish, which happens.
Right.
You get the big females, and then you get starting to get some of the smaller males.
Right.
You can cut up those larger fillets into smaller pieces.
Yeah. But they are seriously recommending, they say it is essential that the oil be preheated to 425. That seems awful hot. That's about the point where
325. 425.
Yes.
And that's the other good thing about peanut oil is it will actually get hotter without flaming up.
Right. I would use peanut oil. If they're calm for 425...
Wow.
Yeah, peanut oil. I mean, obviously, we're going to try this afternoon. I got fish thawing and everything. But I will let y'all know next week if we're here next week, in the driveway from the matchstick.
If we're here next week, I don't know about that. If we're here next week, then apparently it worked. If we're not, then figure it out.
No, we're going to cook it outside. I mean, it's a recipe designed for kind of outside cooking. The heated oil in the house is not my thing. I mean, I fuss at PG. I'm like, that oil's too hot. I mean, it makes me nervous to fry anything in the house for two reasons. For one, it's flammable. But for two, it stinks the house up.
The Fry Daddy.
The weather is good enough to Fry Daddy outside.
The Fry Daddy will only go to 375.
Uh-oh. You're going to have to use a...
What you have to do if you're going to do that, you're going to have to use the burner. And I've fried turkeys higher than that. And it ends up kind of burning the turkey.
Yeah, it's like a flash fry.
Like when you go long term.
According to the recipe, it's a flash fry.
Flash fry.
And it's plenty warm enough to do it outside. So.
Yeah. With clear space.
With clear space.
Let the kids watch.
No trees. Let them watch from,
from the living room.
From the living room. Yeah, keep them inside.
Yeah. And if the neighbors say anything, say, we're just fumigating outside,
We're going to do a test run before y'all do it. They say 425. It's like a flash fry.
We're anti...
anti.
Yeah, you burning. We're burning air outside. Yeah. Out here.
Burning the pollen off.
Yeah,
everything's yellow.
Yeah, that's right. So
we're gonna try it.
Well, interesting.
I like the Cajun idea. You know, let's marinate in bad boys in some Texas Pete and some milk. You know that's
well,
gonna
I mean,
be good.
It sounds good. I just the whole 425.
We'll do it at a lower temp.
No, it says 425.
Flash 425. Gosh, yeah. See, I'm gonna be the one going, PJ, turn that down.
I'll be out here with the leaf blower getting that thing hotter.
No, no, no leaf blower and fire together.
Yeah. Oh.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You never done
no.
that?
No.
Oh yeah. That is awesome.
Yes. No.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. We got the Upstate Outdoors blog coming up. Then we got Lake Joe Cassie Charters. Got Sam Jones. And got a great second hour. So hang on. We're going to go to a break right now. And give me time to put on the yoga pants. And we'll come back with the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Y'all stay with us right here. 106.3 WORD.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WRD with Philip Gentry and Boat Girl.
Holding it down on a Saturday.
And, yeah, so... I still can't get over that 425, though. I'm not going to go there again. But
we'll try it lower.
Field Stream said so. So what could go wrong?
I don't know.
It sounds good, though.
Don't try it at home.
Yeah. Well, were you supposed to try
now
that?
You got me
the neighbor's house? Just go to the neighbor's house, right? It wasn't me. It was him. But anyway, if you're going to be outside, you might as well put on the yoga pants, which is what
camo.
I'm wearing now, the camo yoga pants. Time for the Upstate Outdoors blog. And if you ever wanted to see one of the yoga pants diaries, not the picture of me in the yoga pants, but the yoga pants diaries, you can always go to 1063WORD.radio.com/blogs. It's down in the bottom of the front page.
And you can read up.
You'll see Upstate Outdoors. So wrote this. It's entitled, Learn the Basics of Fly Rod Fishing for Brim. Now, there are probably more books written about fly fishing than any other tactic to catch fish. Writers wax poetic about high-dollar bamboo rods used to make the perfect presentation of hand-tied dry flies in order to match the hatch for majestic river-run trout.
I agree. And it can be overwhelming.
This type of fishing conjures up scenes from the movie A River Runs Through It. Did you ever see that?
I was thinking that.
Did you see that movie?
No, but I saw some clips. You know I hadn't seen any movies.
Brad Pitt?
No, I never saw it.
Anyway. Right. Was that Brad? No, it wasn't Brad Pitt.
I don't know.
That was the other movie.
I've seen some scenes from it.
I don't even know who was in it. I've seen it, and I don't even remember who was in it. And Tom Skerritt was in it.
Okay.
Tom Skerritt was the dad, I think. Anyway. Now, while this type of fly fishing has been and still maintains a tremendous following, most of the water accessible to South Carolina anglers doesn't exactly fit into that category, and subsequently, anglers tend to consider fly rodding as a trout-specific tactic.
Okay.
But not so, because as many fly-casting fans are coming to discover, just about any type of fish species that can be caught on conventional tackle can be caught on fly tackle.
I'd like to learn.
The one exception to that is probably crappie, like my favorite fish or my favorite freshwater fish.
Can't fly those?
Well, I mean, they're not big on feeding. I mean, I know people who have done it with like a nymph
Okay.
But I also know a lot of people who jig with a fly rod using mono line. But that's not the same
thing. Okay.
So fly casting can also be one of the most successful tactics for taming one of the most aggressive and numerous species of fish in the upstate of South Carolina. These fish are colloquially, I can write stuff, but I can't pronounce it. Colloquially. They're called brim.
Why you gotta write such hard words?
Because people can read. I can read it. I just can't say it. Now, first of all, you have to learn the basics of fly casting.
Okay.
10-2. If you don't get anything more from that, it's 10-2. 10-2. The trick to casting a fly rod is to remember that you're casting the line, not the lure.
That's very difficult for some people like me that would want to chunk and wind. And you're looking, you're casting for lure position and not line.
10-2 and then strip.
Yeah.
Almost all of them start out flailing at the water, trying to get the lure ahead of the line.
That'd be me.
Now, working the rod from the, like I said, the 10-2 position, draw the rod and the line backward to the 2 o'clock position, and then shoot the line forward by flicking the rod forward to the 10 o'clock position using your wrist and forearm. That's the basic fly cast, and becoming proficient is ample enough skill to start catching brim. Because that's, I mean, you know.
Okay.
Now, and then, you know, later on, as your skills
develop, you
got to
get better.
It's the roll cast and the double, you know, roll, and, you know, because you're trying to get up underneath stuff. If you're in overhanging trees or whatever.
I'm not going to pretend to know that much about fly fishing, but it seems very complicated and advanced, and it's kind of cool to talk about how to start.
Yeah. Now, trying to push the rod forward into the cast, as is done with bait casting and spinning tackle, won't allow the fly line to lay out and present the bait to the fish. Now, for brim fishing, small popping bugs and flies provide almost no weight, so the weight of the fly line has to be used to propel the bait. And you think about it rolling out, okay?
Okay.
Now, another aspect of fly fishing for small species of fish is that the fly reel's primary purpose is not for fighting the fish. Okay, you'll see that. You've seen people catch tarpon on a fly rod.
Right.
And it's bzzz, and they're reeling it back with the reel. Well, with brim fishing, you're going to strip the fish. Even when you set the hook, you're going to strip it. And you're going to
pull the line holder.
Yeah, that's all it's for. And it's for storing the line. Retrieving a brim on the hook is much easier to do by stripping the line in rather than using the reel. You can use the reel, but it's... Actually, you're trying to keep up with the fish because when you strike and set the hook, it's just easier to pull it.
Right.
Now, the fly reel's basic function is line storage, so there's little need to buy one with a lot of bells and whistles.
Okay.
A basic fly reel that is of decent construction will service the brim angler for many years. And then now let's talk about fly lines. Fly lines come in a variety of styles. The weight forward line has become the industry standard, and floating line is preferred since the water depth of brim beds seldom exceeds 4 to 5 feet. Now, from there, the angler can get as fancy or as basic as he or she wants. A monofilament leader can be made with a rod length, which is, you know, 8, 9, 6, whatever, a 4 to 6 pound test mono line, or... Okay, so you can just use standard, you know, 4 pound test mono, or you can go buy one of the fly fishing mono leaders that taper. And
right, I was going to ask about tapered line.
That'll start at, you know, about a 10 pound, and then the tippet will be, you know, 4 pounds, even 2 pounds.
Right.
And those can be purchased from most retail stores that sell fly fishing tackle. Okay, you with me?
I'm trying to be.
Now, we were talking about the lure. Match the size of the bait to the size of the fish. Brim have a small mouth, and bugs and flies with smaller hooks in the size range 10 will hook more fish. Larger baits with larger hooks are acceptable for the bigger brim, and then not so occasional largemouth bass, probably spotted bass, depending on where you're fishing, that shows up. Okay, so you got, you know, generally speaking, you got popping bugs that are going to come in
the little tiny.
Like the little bets with the arms and all. Or, I mean, you can get, you know, rubber spiders, rubber whatever. I like something that's going to pop. That's actually going to, I mean, you're not popping it.
Not a rubber one.
But you kind of wiggling it.
Okay.
Okay, and when you strip.
So, since brim beds are shallow, do you just like sight? Would you like sight for a brim bed and just practice on them?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Let me finish.
Oh,
up
I here. Interrupted just you. In the
fortunately,
of your article.
Brim and this actually talks about what you're asking about. Fortunately, brim are very forgiving fish, and even novice anglers who are still learning to cast can catch some good brim during the spring, especially when the fish are guarding the nest and will hit almost anything that lands within their radar. So if you're fishing a brim bed, yes,
right.
you can sit there and just wear them out. The other thing that I like to do, I mean, you go down the bank and you're looking for just that fishy-looking area.
Right.
Okay. And now that's where the fly casting stuff can get tough because a lot of that stuff is, you know, there's a tree overhanging and then you got
some... Oh, yeah,
you
I can see me making a big
you
old
got
mess.
Some, you got some water and maybe there's a tree limb laying there.
Or a little piece of bush or something.
And that's the cool thing. I love to see like, I won't call it a lay down, but just where a branch has fallen in the shallows and it drops off into deeper water. Because I can lay that fly, okay? If I'm going to throw a jig or throw an inline spinnerbait or a beetle spin or something else, it's going to sink and I'm going to hook that piece of structure.
Right. But you're laying the fly on the top.
It's just like throwing top water over grass or over anything. You know, it's going to float up there, and the fish is going to come get it, but you got to get him out when it's time.
I think that sounds like fun. Let's try that. I am not experienced with fly fishing at all.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful tactic, and
well,
I know a lot of people that do it, and, I mean – they say, oh, once you do it, you'll never go back to anything else.
And I will say this.
But I do need to learn. And learning on brim, I could see that being a good idea.
And I will say this, even though I miss my beloved dog that I had for years and years and years, old Jack-Jack was impossible to take fly fishing.
He didn't want to have any part of it, did he?
Oh, yeah.
He'd
no, he wanted
out.
To have every part of it. Man, he'd stand there and he'd roo, 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 the whole time that line was going back and forth.
I miss that joker every day. You could cast and he'd freak out.
Yeah. You remember how he would bark whenever you cast?
Yeah. He barked the whole time.
Imagine
if you would
doing
cast,
this.
He would bark.
Imagine doing 10 and 2 with a fly line a couple times.
He'd wear himself out.
Oh,
I miss that little stinker.
I put him in a hatch one time. He didn't stay there, but anyway.
He's right. The best fishing dog ever.
Well, let's go to our break because we got Santa Sam, Joe Cassie Sam, whatever he's calling himself this time of year, Sam Jones from Lake Joe Cassie, and we're going to talk to him and get a fishing report.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. Well, as promised earlier in the show, we're going around the horn again for fishing reports.
Yep.
This week, it's Lake Joe Cassie, and if you're talking about Lake Joe Cassie, there's only one guy to talk to.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
the
I'm sure there's more, but for us, there's only one guy to talk to, and that's Santa Sam, Sam Jones. Sam, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
Oh, glad y'all having me back.
Yes, sir. Now, I tell you what, the trout fishing on Lake Joe Cassie sounds like it's really heating up for this time of year.
It is. We're not catching the numbers we caught last year, but the fish we're catching has been some really quality fish.
Awesome. I'd rather have size than numbers any day of the week.
Well, that's what Joe Cassidy's all about anyway. It ain't a fill your cooler up lake. It's to go up there and catch a few trophies.
Yeah.
And it doesn't it seem like the fish are getting, I mean, the average size fish is...
Fish coming out of there.
Yeah, yeah. And I was looking on social media and saw that you took one of our buddies from Cabela's up the street, and you guys went out there and whacked him earlier this week.
We did. We had a real good afternoon out there. We did an afternoon trip. It was beautiful weather, and he ended up catching one just a little under four. Beautiful male trout in that pretty brown spawning colors, and then another female probably a little over 5 pounds.
Wow.
Nice.
And both of those are cetacean fish.
Well, the other one's just a little undersized. It was only like 18 and a half inches, and like I said, it wasn't quite 5 pounds. It don't quite make the qualifying, but, I mean, the other one does, so you don't do but one anyway. So
okay. So
on your trip.
Did they end up increasing the for the brown trout on Joe Cassidy from when they originally started that cetacean program with DNR?
No, it's always been 20 inches or 5 pounds. Now, there is a fantastic youth, and that's a little bit smaller. I think that's 4 pounds and 18 inches.
I see.
For the youth.
Okay. So now, as far as the pattern on Joe Cassidy, are you fishing up the rivers, or are you fishing down in the main body of the lake?
Actually, having better luck right now up the rivers, and they really haven't gone deep yet. Fish we're catching is anywhere from about 20 to 40 foot deep, which, you know, that's kind of shallow for fishing Joe Cassidy.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, in I guess the surface, I mean, we've had a relatively warm winter. And of course, I don't know what that means to a trout, because they're a lot of times wired backwards. But, you know, I mean, what are the surface temperatures up there at Joe Cassidy?
This week it's varied anywhere from about 58 to 60, depending on where you was at.
Okay.
And yeah.
You know, the trout, they love 55 to 65. That's their preferred temperature.
Okay. So we're getting surface temptures where they're really liking it. And then, like you said, you go down about, you know, 10, 15, 20 feet, and that's going to drop too. So,
yeah, not a whole lot of changes right now when you drop the sensor down. It's pretty steady. You know, you might have a degree or two difference here and there, but there's not really a true thermocline set up anywhere yet.
So I know we've been talking for, I don't know, several weeks, more than several weeks, because all the lakes have been high. Is Joe Cassidy still flooded?
It's down some, but the reason for that is they're doing some work in the state park. They're making a walk-in ramp for the scuba divers and the kayaks.
Oh, okay.
And they're going to give that ramp that they currently use, they're going to give that back to the boats.
Well, and they need another ramp for the boats, honestly.
Yeah.
That's a great project for them to be doing up there, for sure.
I remember.
That's what I was told. That's why the lake was down.
State Park's got a lot of pull to do that. I remember when they back in my scuba diving days, I did a lot of classes up there, and that's when they put the concrete barriers in there to block off that right side down there past the campground.
Yeah,
still like that now, because they haven't completed that yet, but they're thinking by, you know, the end of April they'll have that opened up.
We
should also give them a little more parking there for the kayakers, so that'll help some too.
Now, where are they doing the walk-in for the scuba divers and the kayakers at? Is it going to be right there? Because, and I don't know if it's still there or not, but there used to be a training platform that was right straight off of that ramp for the scuba divers to – it almost looked like a perch, you know, that you'd have in a canary cage where you could kind of see it and not muddy up the bottom. I wonder if they moved that or if it's even still there.
Yeah, I haven't heard what they're going to do with that, but the new ramp's going to be right there between the campground and that ramp we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, just right between those two.
Well,
they've got it mostly graded off and got the rip wrap around it, but I hadn't seen exactly where they're putting the ramp in yet.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And that's a good thing about Lake Joe Cassidy is, I've spent a lot of time up there under the water. And never seen any trout, though. That's the funny thing. And when you get scuba divers in the water, the bass and the brim and everything, but the trout, I guess, are...
You didn't ask Sam where they were.
Yeah.
Because he knows.
Well, that's the same thing I've heard from the divers, too. Yeah, they see the bass, the catfish, everything else. So the catfish just following around just seeing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But they say they hardly ever see a trout whenever they're scuba diving.
Nope.
I guess they're just such a weary, shy fish, they just avoid them completely.
Well, back on the fishing side now. You're trolling for them, and are you using any? I mean, live bait now, or is it spoons or combinations?
I'm just using hardware now, but I've got some buddies that's doing pretty good on the live bait also. But I just like the spoons. I can kind of vary my speed a little better, and you know, play with it a little bit better that way. And as long as they work, that's what I stay with.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a now, used to be that what the hammered copper was like the standard go-to on Joe Cassie. Is that still the case, or have you guys come up with something better for the wide appeal on the spoons?
Well, we're still using the same brand, the Sutton spoon that those were made in, but I'm using a little bit thicker version of them, those hammered ones. Those hammered ones were the paper thin ones.
Mm-hmm.
They're made to go just a little bit slower than I like to troll. I usually target about 1.7 to 2.2, which, okay. I mean, those spoons will do okay for that, but the little bit heavier ones work a little bit better for me.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And if you've never been downrigger fishing, it's really interesting. It's something to see. It's a very specialized tactic, but the cool thing about it is, you know, unlike using heavy equipment or something like that, whenever the fish hits, he's free. And,
right.
and you've got him on, on basically light tackle.
Yeah, I'm using medium action rods of 8-pound mono on them most of the time. And, yeah, it makes for a really good fight.
Yeah, it's. I was fairly new to that. I had never been until a couple of years ago. And I'm like, well, this ain't going to be fun because, you know, you're deep and this, that, and the other. I didn't realize how it worked.
Yeah.
You know? And we went way up in the mountains of North Carolina, and it was so fun. And I didn't realize with, like, the downrigger thing that that's how it all worked. There's a lot of mechanics involved.
Yeah.
There is. I like to tell people, you know, it's a comfortable pontoon. It's kind of a laid-back style of fishing that turns into a Chinese fire drill.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just sitting there on the couches on the pontoon, which, by the way, I just recently upgraded my pontoon. I got all new furniture on it, nice, clean, white furniture. So everything's good and sanitary.
Awesome.
And speaking of that, I mean, I'm sure you are like everybody, every other guide around, probably in the whole country. I mean, a lot of folks that were traveling in to fish with you and have had to cancel. So I'm sure you've got plenty of openings.
I've had quite a few cancellations, but you've got all these people that's scared they're going to lock us in our house pretty soon. So, you know, they're trying to get out while they can. So I'm still staying busy enough.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
still got plenty of openings too, though. Yeah, there's still a good bit on the calendar there.
So if folks are if they, you know, either want to go now and get that fishing trip in, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, you can check out everything on my website at joecassiecharters.com, or you can just call or text me at 864-280-9056.
Awesome, Sam Jones. Lake Joe Cassie Charters. Sam, thanks for being on the show with us, and good luck. And, man, stay safe out there. But hopefully everything we'll still be able to get outdoors and everything will be good.
I believe so. I appreciate y'all having me.
All right,
awesome.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Y'all support your local fishing guides.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You know, I mean, I know that y'all hear on the station, y'all hear on WORD about supporting your local businesses and this, that, and that. Your fishing guides are also your local businesses.
Absolutely.
Support them.
So, well, let's go to our break now. When we come back, still don't have any calendar of events, but we got a great parting shot. So we'll figure it out. Hang on.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, well, now is this segment is normally when we do our calendar of events.
But
there aren't any events to talk about, so we only got one thing left to do. Okay, so for today's parting shot, I actually found this on Popular Science, popsci.com.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many people may not be familiar with a wombat, and I don't know if they get into and there's some, you know, they're discussing anatomical parts of a wombat. I think wombats are from...
They're cute.
They're not around here. I don't think we have wombats. I want to say that they're from Australia. University of Tasmania.
Okay.
All right, so there you go. And if you're not aware, when they poop, it comes out in a cube. Okay?
Which is weird.
And they do that because they have a protective shield of bone and a thick pad of fat and muscle meant to repel burrow-invading predators. Wombats have a lot of strange... No, that's not why they... But they have a lot of strange stuff going on with their backsides, okay? And a new paper presented this week, this is a little, maybe a couple months old, at an American Physical Society conference provides insight into the most enduring mystery of the marsupial's weird hiney, the shape of its poop, okay? Wombat feces are cubic, a fact that you should remember in case it comes up in bar trivia, right?
Sitting over here laughing.
Okay, now that isn't news. People have been wondering about it for a long time. Past wombat poop thinkers have speculated that perhaps there's three species of wombat, and they thought maybe they have a square anus. Okay?
Okay.
And that, you know, causes it to whatever. But
to be square.
Patricia Yang, who's a mechanical engineer at the Georgia Institute of Technology, found the real answer, and she put it in a paper. And actually, she's like hoping that it's going to help humans come up with a new way to manufacture cubes, right? I didn't know that we had a problem with that.
We had a problem with that either.
And she went looking for the truth after learning about the wombat's unusual poop at a conference. She and three co-authors obtained fresh intestines from wombats that were euthanized after being hit by cars in Tasmania.
Okay.
And actually, they're threatened by human encroachment.
Yes, and, like a lot.
And
yes.
They also got some kind of disease that I can't...
Some stuff.
It's like a scabies, contagious skin disease.
Ew.
Now, she initially didn't believe that the feces actually were cubic. However, when she actually saw them in real life, she was pretty surprised. Now, she found that the poop in the upper parts of the intestines are...
Normal.
Gosh, I really don't want to get into all this. Anyway, so it's very liquid in the start, and it's very, very dry at the end.
This is like okay. The weirdest article you've ever done.
I've done some weird stuff. The pressure against the walls of their intestines causes it to fit into cubes.
Which is so bizarre.
Okay. And so, it took a team, a collaboration of engineers and biologists and a wildlife ecologist at the University of Tasmania, and they discovered it, you know, it just...
Makes squares.
Squeezes in squares. And she's thinking, you know what? Currently, I'm thinking about food manufacturing, right? That they could use that technology, I guess, where you have a lot of, like, chocolate, liquid chocolate. And she said chocolate, not me. you know, start out with really liquid chocolate and then, you know, come back with really dry chocolate.
That's really weird.
All right. Well, anyway, if you can go to our
Any
Facebook
of y'all
page.
Science people, it's kind of an interesting article, but... Wombats were really cute until we started talking about their poop and how they just seem nasty.
Well, Anyway.
Yeah.
So, there you have it. And once again, we've successfully navigated to the end of our show.
The wheels always fall off at the end.
That's right. By design. And before we go, I want to thank Blake Hodge from Team Wrecking Crew and also Sam Jones, Joe Cassie. Sam, thanks for being on the show. And for myself and Boat Girl and our producer behind the glass, Tim Holcomb, thanks for listening.
Have a great rest of the weekend.
Have a great
week. Get outdoors.
Get outdoors, but stay in groups of three, okay?
Or less.
That's all I got to say about that. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Right here, 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.